you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. We're in hour two on this wonderful Wednesday, October 7th. Thank you for tuning in. Our weather today, going to get up to 77 degrees, and right now at the KSLM studios, 50 degrees. And it looks like right around the corner on Saturday, we're going to see a little bit of rain and temperatures dropping down for our high temperature, about 58 degrees. So you can plan accordingly if you needed to mow that lawn or rake those leaves up or do any of those outside type chores. You probably want to do them before Saturday. But then again, looking towards the first of next week, it looks like it warms up again into the 60s. And I don't know about you, but I like to look at today, but I also kind of like to look towards the future and what's expected as far as weather. And I think it's the only thing that's consistent these days. It seems like every day something's changing. And so we're trying to keep some routine and things consistent. And what we've done now here, we are an hour or two. If you're tuning in and normally you would listen to Mike Gallagher right now, we are now, we've expanded. He'll be on after me at 9 a.m. So stay tuned for Mike Gallagher then. But we're moving into hour two. The first hour today, we talked to Amy Courser. It is Amy Ryan Courser, and she is certainly a wonderful friend now. It's been a pleasure to get to know her, and she is a candidate. She's been all over the 5th District trying to connect with voters and constituents, and we're going to get her involved in the conversation again this second hour and even take some phone calls from you. But first, I want to do a shout-out to our morning show sponsor, Dave and Paige Smith. They're with Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs, and there are a lot of people wondering, hey, should I sell? Should I move up? Should I get a bigger house? What should I do with my real estate needs right now? And they can help you with all of those questions. Please give them a call, 503-939-7099. And the other thing I want to talk about this morning is there's some things on our community calendar coming around the corner. Currently, right now, we're in the 40 Days for Life campaign right at Planned Parenthood from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Prayer warriors out on the sidewalks. Sidewalks for Advocate at Sidewalk Advocates for Life are out there helping women who are needing assistance, and hopefully we'll look at all the options. And I think it's an important movement. It's not only here in Salem, it's all around the country and world. And so we want to support our friends with 40 Days for Life. If you want more information, go on their website, 40daysforlife.com/Salem. Find them on Facebook as well. And then that's going on until November 1st. Of course, next week, we want to get our registrations in, and we certainly want to make sure that as soon as the ballots come out, we get them into our local county offices. And then on the 17th of October is the Love and Run Walk, Salem Kaiser Volcano Studio Stadium, and the check-in will be at 8 a.m., and they're encouraging you to put a team together of 12, or you can go as an individual. For more information about this Love and Run and Walk, be sure to go to kickin-cancer.org/programs and get involved. And I think this is a great reminder that if you have something on your community calendar, I know we've got Thanksgiving coming up. There's some food drives going on. There's still support for the wildfires going on. There's all kinds of things happening in communities. We want to partner with you in getting that information out. Please send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. We'll put it on the community calendar. And maybe I'll just have you come in the studio and talk about it. How about that? Doesn't that sound fun? So, Amy, when we talk about our community and all the great things that are going on, you know, everything about normalcy has been upended with the pandemic and the wildfires and all of the businesses being shut down and not knowing. And then the poor businesses that have, yeah, you can open up, but you need to do A, B, C, D, E, F. And then they do all of those things. And then some regulator comes in and says, oh, you're not doing it quite right. And all of there's just so much going on. It's hard sometimes to not be overwhelmed by where we're at. And so when you see people and you hear their stories, which you have a lot in the last month, how do you bring hope and encourage? What do you say to them?
Oh, that's a tough one, Stacey. You know, I do believe in, I am inspired by what I think is happening because I think change is good. I don't think change is a bad thing. I think we can't fix the things that are broken until we have a little bit of painful momentum to be inspired to change them. So I'm okay with that, although I know people like their comfort zone. But I do think that at the same time, to make those changes happen and to inspire creating differences, we have to go through it. So I hear the most, of course, we're talking about and listening to the communities, you know, I have had several conversations even this week about people and businesses who are trying to do it right, and yet there's no consistency. So, you know, if I come in and I'm wearing my mask, which is actually not even a regulated mask. First of all, we're not even wearing the right mask. Our data is not right, and our information and our communication isn't strong. So I think those are all things we could do better. I think that this isn't going to be the last time we go through something like this. I hate to say that, but I think, you know, this is just maybe a preview of what's to come. How can we do this better and different so that we're not shutting down, so that we're not struggling with local businesses? But I see businesses trying, and then they're not consistent with each. Like, so all restaurants, in my opinion, should have the same exact format of what is healthy and safe to keep their businesses open. And I'm all for supporting that, which is a struggle because I'm on that fence with you where I think, oh, I don't like being controlled. I don't like being told what to do. And I don't like having our economy shut down. So I'm with you. But at the same time, then let's be consistent with all the businesses so it's fair to everyone and there's no penalties and there's no other businesses, you know, struggling to stay open.
Well, and I think part of the challenge has been that they put out these guidelines, but they're not real specific enough that people can interpret it however.
Right.
And until they get dinged somehow, then it's more cost to the business. It's just very unfortunate.
That's right.
And it's very sad. And I think having a good response and a good plan of action, if this was to happen in the future, is a way that we can respond to that. And when you get to Congress, I am excited for you to be able to be at the table and be able to have these conversations and how we can be effective when pandemic and health crises happen and economic crisis happens. And those are things you'll get to address.
That's right.
When you get to the federal level. Now, last hour, I promised that when we got into the new hour, we would open up the phone lines and talk to our listeners and have them ask questions. So I'm going to do that. But while we do that again, Amy, let's talk a little bit about how people can get a hold of you and how they can get involved in the campaign.
So amyfororegon.com is all of my social media. So you can see what are my thoughts, what are my ideas. I'm in the process of making some videos to talk specifically about issues so that it's very, very oriented to that that need. And so people know who I am and where I stand so that they feel confident in voting for me. And I laugh. I say, you know, I've had some great meet and greets, by the way. And I've told everyone, you know, it's a two-year seat. If I don't do it, no matter what your party is, please vote for me and give me the opportunity to do a great job and be your representative. And if in 2 years you feel like I'm not transparent and communicative and all of the things I've committed to being, and you don't think I'm doing a good job, then you can fire me by not voting for me the next time.
Right.
So it's really that simple. I just think we don't need to overthink it. We need to get people in who are really willing to fight for the right thing. And so I'd like the opportunity to earn that. And so I do ask people to follow my social media, learn a little bit about me, and I answer all of my own emails. Email me directly, and I respond.
So, and what's your email?
Amy@amyfororegon.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And last hour, we talked a little bit about the media and the fact that there's no opportunity at this point to do a face-to-face debate with your opponent. And I do think, and the incumbent that's been there, by the way, for 12 years, I do think it's important that we as listeners get a hold of these outlets. Now, you did say you've been interviewed by the Journal, Statesman Journal, so that'll be coming up, and that one of the TV stations did a feature.
Yes. KATU Channel 2 On Your Side did a Get to Know Your Candidates, and you can see that online.
So you can watch that online.
And it's several candidates. So it's not just myself, but you can see my opponent and myself, and you can see several people running, and they've done, done a good job representing the local candidates.
Excellent. And then you can share that. That's something else listeners can do. We can share that on our social media and let people know that that resource is there. And I'm going to put that up on our Facebook page and try to find some links to our website as well. We're going to open up the phone lines. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, 503-589-1220. We're going to take our first phone call. And I believe this is our friend Art. Hello, Art. Thanks for holding on the line. How are you today?
Peachy, I think.
Well, I'm so glad to hear from you this morning. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for waiting from last hour into this hour. What questions and what comments do you have for Amy today?
Well, I got my yard signs up, and Amy, you're right on the corner of 5th in Norway.
Yay!
Put you up every morning, take you down every night so nobody steals it. Et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you.
No problem there. Have you, Amy, thought about doing a virtual town hall, just like Mr. Schrader does? I mean, he's done that during the pandemic, and invite the voters in your district to come and ask you questions, and actually invite Mr. Schrader to come in too, because there's no rules that can't happen. And of course, we all know he does it. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that you ought to put it out there to the voters in your district, because I'd be glad to join in, obviously. And I'd love to have him in there too, to ask him the hard questions, so that he can be held accountable for his voting records and his vision for our future, because quite frankly, I don't think he has a vision for our future. It's just party, 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 and money and power, and the people, the Oregonians in his district, he doesn't think about our interests very much.
That's right. Well, I have done some town halls where I've done, I don't think I called it a town hall. I did a Facebook Live and invited people to join me, and that went pretty well. I think it would probably be time to do another one, because I think as we get closer to the election, it allows me to answer questions directly on live on video. And so I really have enjoyed that process, and I could do more of them for sure. Inviting Kurt, you know, this is how I got into this race, is because I tried to sit down with Kurt Schrader, over 10 times to find some solutions for our infrastructure and our third bridge issue, and also some shipping issues for import-export for local business. And he wouldn't return my calls or meet with me, even when we sat together at the table and said he would. So, and to question, of course, his voting record. And at that point, there was an issue where he didn't show up to be sworn in Congress. He actually took the time off. And now, as we know, he's taken a proxy vote and given his vote to another representative. He has recanted that, and so now he's back into that 13% approval rating.
Whoa! But, wait a minute. Stop for a minute. You're telling me that he's representing us, and mm-hmm. he proxied his vote for Oregonians to another person? Oh my goodness!
Yes, he did.
Yes, go ahead.
I understand the Facebook, really I do, but a lot of people don't use Facebook. They don't bother with Facebook.
Uh-huh.
They hate Facebook. And so doing a Skype conference, you'd probably get more people involved.
Okay.
That's just my idea.
Great. I like it, Art. Thank you. I'll let you know.
We're going to break. Right. Thank you, Art. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back after this. It's a beautiful day indeed. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you, like our Facebook page at KSLM Radio, and be sure to tune into our website, kslm.news. We still have links up there about the wildfires. You can click on there and find out resources. You can find information about the containment of each of the wildfires. We still have 9 burning, believe it or not. It's crazy. And some of them are almost like 80% contained, but it's good to stay in tune on what's going on. And I'm just so thankful for clear air right here in our community. And just a few weeks ago, it was so bad, our index was bad, and now we have good fresh air again. And we live in such a beautiful, beautiful area, and we have an incredible community, and it's worth fighting for. We started last hour with a piece from John Voight about how we have a part to play, and we have a part to protect, stand for our values, stand for our community, stand for our state and our nation. And it does rest on us. And if you think your vote doesn't count, I argue with you today. Your vote makes a difference. If you remember, our Governor Brown, the very first time she was ever elected into an official capacity, she won by like 7 votes. Yeah, elections have consequences too. You know, if we want more of the same, you want more of all the regulations and all the hot air and no action lining up with the words, well, I guess we can keep voting the same way, but I'm not going to preach at you today because I think I'm preaching to the choir more or less here today. But we need to get in the trenches, roll up our sleeves, be a part of the solution, show up, help these candidates, give our time, treasure, and talent. It's worth it. We need to make sure that we get the right people in these key positions. And in the studio with me today, blessed to have her here, is Amy Ryan Corser, and she is the candidate for the 5th District. And Amy, tell us a little bit about your district that you're running for. I know you said several counties. Talk to me a little bit about how vast and wide and what it looks like, because I know it's pretty diverse, too.
That's a great word, and I use that word a lot. It's diverse. So Marion County is, of course, where I live, and I kind of use that as my central point. But it does go almost the entire coastline. It goes from Yahats, I should say North Albany to Yahats, through the forestry, their area there, and then straight up to Cannon Beach, and then it comes underneath Yamhill. It's not included, but it's kind of a little odd. A lot of our districting is very odd. But then it's about 80% of Clackamas County, and so up towards and into the Portland area, and then through, of course, Detroit, and then back down through Marion County. So again, 7 counties, 77 incorporated cities, and 35 unincorporated cities. And each one has a different sign law. So, you know, everybody has different rules. So really trying to pay attention to the details. And the diversity is the perfect word because you know, we have infrastructure issues, traffic, tolling. Those issues are really important to our Clackamas area. And then affordable housing is important everywhere. And then you also have people who are struggling with homeless issues in all of our areas, and forestry management, number one, of course, is prevalent in my district. So.
And you have the agricultural community as well. That their viability is so important. If they're heavily regulated and all of the, you know, they can't even transport their goods and services and the things like that. I mean, there's so many barriers. It seems like what I'm discovering here in Oregon, that there's so many barriers to those that want to be entrepreneurial, those that do want to provide for their families. It's difficult.
That's right.
And it's like this pressure and this push to rely more on the government instead of being self-reliant and independent.
That's right.
And that's why, again, we need to make sure we have the right people in these elected positions. When you are at Tillamook and those areas, what are their needs and what are they expressing to you that they would like to see in an elected leader?
Sure. So I love being in our coastal communities and Tillamook, Lincoln County. I'm there often, and I have a lot of support from, of course, you know, regarding our cap and trade issues and our higher taxes and trying to keep our small logging family companies and towns in business. Those are huge issues,
right?
And with the government overregulation and overreach, it's they make it even harder. So fighting on behalf of those local communities, those small bedroom communities, and remember, we lost several to the fire, so we have to come in with solutions and answers to regain those communities and rebuild. And I love their attitude. And I tell them, you kind of brought this up last time, keep the faith. We've got to get through this election. We're going to get a new governor on the next election. Things are going to happen and they're going to change. I have a lot of friends that say, I'm just going to move. I'm out of here. I'm saying, please don't give up, because Oregon's worth fighting for. And if we all unite and show up to vote, we can be that difference and we can change. And we can, you know, we can get rid of the overregulation and the overreach and the government challenges that that the small businesses face. It's like with all the taxes, and I'm endorsed by the Oregon Tax Payers Association because I have fought for that for so many years. This isn't just a new thing; it's a many year fight, and I have been I've been proven a leadership towards fighting against taxes and protecting our small businesses, and so. We have to have people that are willing to, of course, be that voice, but understand the processes. There's a big difference between state government and federal government,
right,
and what we can and can't do. And I spend a lot of time sharing that information so people can understand the differences, because they think I can come in, of course, with my red cape and fix everything on a state level. No, we have to get behind our great state leaders who are willing to take on that fight and give them the support to do that. I'm a different candidate because I'm federal, and I want to support our state leaders and those people willing to do the right thing.
Well, and I think what happens oftentimes is people are so excited to see someone face to face, willing to be a part of the solution, listening to them. Mm-hmm. So you probably just get it all. It's like a water hose. You just get it all and you can sort it out or whatever. But I do think our voice is heard to our candidates, whether that we see them directly or indirectly through email, calling, all of those things is so very important. And I love that you're kind of that catalyst to show people that they can have those conversations and they can be influence. They can influence that candidate.
That's
at least if they do something with it, it's on them, but at least they're doing their part, right?
Right. Well, and I love the conversation, and I'll be honest, there's a lot of different kind of candidates out there, but I am a very different kind of candidate. I am very real, very transparent, and I'm honest about mistakes I've made in the past or where we're going in the future and who I am as a candidate. I'm no different than everyone else. I'm not an elite, candidate or incumbent that has deep money that doesn't live in our district. A lot, you'll find that with most of our federal candidates don't live here. They have property here, but they don't live here. And that's a big difference, because I'm working side by side every day.
And that raises the bar for accountability when you're living amongst your neighbors and they know what you're doing. Yeah, I think that's important. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, opening up the phone lines, 503-589-1220. We'd love to hear your questions today. Give us a call. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you for tuning in today. And a shout out to all of you not in Salem tuning in. Maybe you're in Arkansas, South Dakota, Texas, Nebraska, and who knows, maybe someone in Idaho. We'll find out. It's fun to get some feedback from folks on who's tuning in and that they've shared with their family. And people are curious about what's going on in Oregon, because we've hit all the national headlines. And certainly, even in the presidential debate, they're talking about our Portland. And when I was thinking about moving here, and even after I've started living here before I was on the radio, people were real curious. What's Oregon like? You know, and why would you be moving there? And then I share, hey, this is where I went to high school. I love Oregon. Moved up here when I was 10 from California, and I just love the climate. I love the culture of the people. And, you know, it's just a beautiful place, and it's worth fighting for. And so coming here at this particular time, I don't think it's any mistake that we rally together, be a part of the solution, and take our Oregon back, the Oregon that we love so much, that fights for the individual, for that pioneer spirit, of that entrepreneurial spirit of making our own way and doing it on our own, but within a community in a way that we know what's best. I always believe the local government is the best government because of that accountability. And sending people to D.C. in Congress is important, that they're a part of us, that they're from us, right? That they're in touch of what's going on. And that's the beautiful thing about this candidate that we have in the studio and we've had all morning long, Amy Ryan Courser, running for the 5th District, the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, Amy, talk to us a little bit about how you will be different in Congress than the incumbent that's been there for 12 years and who may have property here but doesn't really spend a lot of time here in Oregon. How are you going to do things differently?
Sure. Well, I do have to live in D.C. because that's required, mm-hmm. And people don't always know that. But I will maintain my residence here, and we will go back and forth.
Right.
And so, and I will be continuing to be involved in the things and the communities locally and the things that are important to them that are going on. I'm looking forward to that, actually. I don't want to lose and be disconnected at all. I love that. And so, and I think that's what keeps you humble. That's what keeps you grounded in what's important to your constituents. And so there's that. And then there's also the fact that I guess for me, and I watch many and pay attention to many politicians in D.C., I think what's important is that I've narrowed it down to I'm going to make each vote on every decision with the same protocols, if you will, the same criteria. Number one, is it honor our Constitution? Mm-hmm. Does that vote honor our Constitution? Number two, does it raise taxes? If it raises taxes, I will not vote for it. Mm-hmm. And number three, if it's is it good for the people of Oregon? I'm not concerned about the people of Nebraska and Texas and all of that. You know, I mean, they have people to represent them and be their voice.
Right.
And doesn't mean we don't work together. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, we have to have that voice of what's important for Oregonians. Mm-hmm. And so those three things will be my criteria for voting. And I want to be held accountable for that as well. It doesn't bother me at all. I talk about that accountability and how we need to hold people accountable. Please hold me accountable as your representative. But know that those are the three criteria that I'm going in to vote for on behalf of the people. And I think that makes me different just to even have that statement.
And that's your contract with Oregonians.
That's right.
The common sense approach. That's what makes you essential for Oregon, is that you are willing to put your name and your time, treasure, and talent on the line and say, hey, these are the things that I'm going to do. And what I didn't hear in there, and I'm glad not to hear it, is that for your resume building and for your political future and what's best for you as a person. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong, and I think our listeners would agree, that so much in politics is all about that individual advancing their own agenda.
That's
and
right.
Their own name and their own career, in a sense, as a career politician that have been there for 40-some years. And,
right.
And friends, if you're tired of hearing about Nancy Pelosi and all of her power plays and all of her whining and her saying, wear your mask, but she doesn't wear the mask, all of those kinds of things. Look, if we take the House back, and guess what? We get a new Speaker of the House. We have no clue, I don't think, at some point, how electing Amy Ryan Corser will take a seat away from Nancy Pelosi.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so these things have rippling effects. Now, on a practical level, what we can do, we can get involved, we can write that check, donate money online, we can show up and volunteer, we can put signs out in our yards. There's multiple layers of things that we can do to make sure that Amy is known about and people have a chance to understand that she is going to fight for them, right? Even so much that you're doing sign waving and inviting people in different communities. And we talked about this, and I know that there are probably kids listening. Listen in, kids. Get your parents involved here. I know you have a costume somewhere. Some of you are thinking about being a superhero this Halloween season, right? Amy, talk to us about these themed sign wavings and letting people know who you are.
Sure. Well, one of the things through the pandemic that we're utilizing every opportunity to be different and to get people engaged. And so, you know, one of the things I was, when I ran before, I was terrified of sign waving and standing on the corner. I kind of hid behind my sign.
Oh.
And now I'm actually, I've come out of that the corner and I'm excited. People are like, what street corner are you on today? So it's become a joke, but I'll tell you, we are, you know, as our friend with Kicking Cancer, we're going to do a big pink sign wave. You know, we're all wearing pink and honor cancer. And then we're going to do because of course, Halloween is a difficult this year for everyone. I want people to get excited and be part of the process. And so people can come out and hold a sign or wear their costume. And we're going to do some fun sign wavings and costumes. And we can be superheroes. We can be anything we want to be. And I want to encourage that people can dress up and we can all stand there together in a very safe manner and share the campaign with people, but still have a good time. And so
and they can
love
find
that.
Out chat about that on your Facebook page, on
sure.
your website, and
I
these different opportunities, events going mm-hmm. on, and where
yep.
you're going to be, and things like
yep.
that. Now, there's something coming up this weekend. Talk to us a little bit about this event on Saturday. If you're in the Polk County area, and or even if you're not, come on yeah. over and learn about candidates.
Yes, if you can hear this radio, you
right.
should be there. So Saturday, we've had the honor of Wildman Farms in Dallas, right as you drive into Dallas. They are hosting an event this Saturday from 2 to 5, and it's a meet the candidate where the candidate gets to share their platform with them. We have five candidates, at least, if not more, that are running for everything from Kim Thatcher, Secretary of State, Jeff Goodman, he's running for Treasurer, myself, Joe Ray Perkins for Senate, Commissioner Lyle Moorhurst is running as well, and a Dallas person running for mayor I have not met yet. So it's an opportunity to hear about the candidates and be with like-minded people who are excited to see change in the community. So having an actual person, local farmer, do that for us, we're super excited to have her host that for us.
And that information would be on your Facebook page
yep.
too, as well, probably under events. Maybe?
Events. We did events, mm-hmm. so you can find. We share events and push those out for dates and times, and people can let them know if they're going, because that helps us know for the count of people and what we need to have to make sure everybody's covered.
Now, this is kind of a random question, but how much to get an ad on a newscast or on a main TV station in Portland? Give me an idea of what that would cost to run one ad. Have you priced that yet?
I sure did, because we want to reach the masses, but we also want to be fiscally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a tough decision.
Right.
So one ad on a major station, okay, not the cable or the internet, but on a major station was between $1,500 and $5,000 for 30 seconds.
Ad. And we know, and in fact, we share with our business partners here at KSLM, repetition, you know, repeating, hearing those messages, you know, to resonate with people. One ad, $1,500. So this is what we're up against right
here. $5,000. I mean, because it depended on the time of day.
Incredible.
And then you could be preempted. That happened a lot to me because I did, of course, the lesser package and the primary, really tried to get my name out. And consistently, you do get your airtime, but you go from paying for a 6 o'clock spot where you're in the middle of a news cycle to 3 a.m. and you are put in by someone who's willing to pay more for that ad spot.
Well, and that's the battle that Amy's up against when you have an incumbent that has a lot of resource, a lot of money, a lot of tied to like maybe big pharma and things like that. Again, Amy's talked about she's not owned by anybody, right?
Mm,
she has
right.
no allegiances to these people who try to influence her vote. She's an independent advocate for Oregonians, and when we talk about big pharma, and I know we've talked about cancer and fighting cancer and that kind of thing, you're real strong on this.
I am, and if you'll remember, some of your listeners may remember, I came on your show several weeks ago and made the commitment that I will not take PAC money, political action committee money from any pharmaceuticals, and I think that's a conflict of interest. My opponent has taken over $1 million from pharmaceuticals, and people don't realize this, but he's an heir to the Pfizer family, so he has independent money, Pfizer money, and really, as you look forward, as they're, you know, Congress is making some decisions on that with our vaccination. That's a whole new issue coming up. Well, if Pfizer is one of those people that are bidding for the contract for vaccinations and to come out with that, and you have a congressman who's an heir to the Pfizer family, I see that as a complete conflict of interest.
Oh, and I see it as play to pay,
and
we need to end that, friends. We're going to open up the phone lines, and I believe we have our friend Baron on the line with us. Good morning, Baron. Thank you for joining the conversation this morning. How are you?
I'm good. It sounds like my timing for calling was perfect.
Yes, indeed. What would you like to say this morning?
Well, I just want to go back and comment that Amy made. I have been on Facebook jail twice. And they do have the ability to shut you down, because apparently Kicking Cancer Guy is not really my name. So I agree with what you're saying, Amy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I have a question for you on the pharmaceutical line. And this is actually an article from an AARP magazine.
Hey, Baron. We're going in. You probably can't hear it, but the music's coming up. We're going into break. Hold that question. We'll catch you on the other side, all right?
Sounds good.
We're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. We'll come back after this.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this fantastic Wednesday. In the studio, Amy Ryan Corser, and we are talking about her candidacy for U.S. Congress, 5th District, here in Oregon. And we open up the phone lines, and before we talk to Barron again, Amy, you and I have stepped up, and we stepped up to the challenge to help raise funds for Kicking Cancer and this big golf-a-thon that's going to happen on the 1st of November. And Amy, you and I are on the same team.
Yes, we
and
are.
And you and I are going to beat Barron. Right,
we
got
yes,
a long ways to go because he's got a little bit of a head start on us. But we put this challenge out about a month and a half ago, mm-hmm. and Barron, we haven't forgotten. I know we've been really busy, but we're on it, friend.
Yeah,
you two are incredibly busy. I'm actually kind of like sitting here just eating bonbons compared to your schedule.
It's like chasing rabbits, probably, more or less. But we are excited to be a part of this event and raise money and for an excellent cause. Now, Barron, we were talking about Big Pharma, and you were going to bring up an article. Continue that conversation.
Well, it's an article from the AARP magazine, and it says one of the reasons that the U.S. has the highest prescription drug cost in the world is that we're the only industrialized nations whose government doesn't bargain with drug makers over pricing.
Whoa.
So Australia, Japan, and most of Europe, they form a national health program where they actually sit and work out this pricing. And I guess my question for Amy is, you know, how do we get Big Pharma under control?
Well, that's a great question, and a bigger answer than, of course, what we have time for. But I will tell you off the top of my head that to gain control, fiscal control, we have to provide the accountability. And we say that word a lot. It's almost overused lately, but it's just couldn't be truer, especially when it comes to Big Pharma. So we have to have, there are regulations in place that are not being enforced. And then, of course, lawmakers continue to make their own laws around the principles and the things that to make it work for them. And so we're not holding people accountable. And that's got to be number one. Number two is really important when you look at Big Pharma. And Barron, you know this better, of course, than anyone. There are things in place where Big Pharma receives tax credits and tax breaks. Let's say just for even, we talked about TV commercials a minute ago. Great example. If we took just the amount of tax credit that we give Big Pharma to run all of these ads that they do on prime time, of course, all day long, we've all seen them. They're a little frustrating, and you know they have the symptoms worse than the cause. But if we took that just that tax break that we give them, that credit, and we could take that and put that back into forestry management or creating new jobs, we would have over a billion dollars to create and save our small towns and put that money back into solutions for Oregon.
And that's a great solution. And that's just one thing. And I think we could have a whole discussion on that. Thank you, Barron, for calling this morning. We're going to go to the next caller. Ron, good morning, Ron. How are you today? Are you there, Ron? Let's see if we can get, good morning, Ron. Welcome to the conversation this morning. Are you there? We may have lost Ron. Well, thank you for calling in. You can try again, 503-589-1220. We have a few minutes left this morning. Let me see if I can get him to come on the line. Good morning, Ron. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on I-5 as we're speaking, going to do the Lord's work.
Oh, well, thank you for joining the conversation this morning.
I want to say, Amy, I'm hoping if I'm not, the Lord don't have me tied down, I'll be seeing you at Wildman Situation out there in Dallas.
Oh, great.
But the biggest thing I feel, Amy, is, hey, why not do the protest right there in front of Mr. Schrader's office? Why not go through and do it at his residence? I think the people, you know, and what I don't hear in the media about you, Amy, is that why is the silence on the Antifa and the Trash and Life of Property, as I call them, because I don't want to insult the color of my race.
That's right.
That hate group. Where is Kurt Schrader's call on it? Why is the Oregonian? Why isn't State Mignola? Why is nobody giving you a chance to have this question and a piece of debate? Where's the leagues of Oregon women at?
That's right.
Where are they?
That's right. Well, and, you know, people are trying to do more on Zoom. I have seen some of that. But, you know, your point to, let's say, the political unrest and the Antifa, you know, to me, not making a statement and being silent is condoning the unrest. And so that's something that's really important to me to point out. And it's why I've been very vocal about it. And, you know, you talk about going in. He has an office. He has three offices in our district. And but he's not here. Remember, Kurt Schrader is, he actually has a residence in New York, and he has a residence in D.C., and he's not here. So even having that that protest or that, you know, showing up and being controversial, to be honest, it's really a waste, kind of a waste of time right now, only because, not because it's not a good idea, but because he's not here to see it. So how do you get his attention? And that's probably not it. There's probably other ways to get his attention. I've called him out on social media many times. Things I do know that he's paying attention, because he's retracted and recanted some of the things that he has done. And I know that what's really exciting is I'm polling really well, and I'm sure he's seen that. I'm polling 3 points ahead of my opponent. Mm-hmm. And to do that against an incumbent is pretty exciting, and it's got people fired up. And so I know he hears it. I've seen him in the district. That's one of the reasons, of course, he shows up right before every election to pretend like he's here. I have been to his residence and his farm to witness it myself, to see what it was. And there's, I think, at least 10 do not enter, do not trespass signs. So, of course, I've not been on the property because it does say do not trespass. But, you know, there's a difference between pushing that line and being respectful of the law. And of course, and he's a sitting representative. So I think there's other ways to tackle that.
When we talk about the media, thank you, Ron, by the way, for your question. When we talk about the media, I'm concerned and also wondering if you're getting any federal or any national interest in regards to, like, some of our talk shows, like Hannity, Levin, any of those. It would be good to see if you could get on, you know, the Brian Kilmeade and some of these national conservative talk shows to tell your story and get support. I have heard them highlight sure. some individual candidates. Have you had any opportunity? Have you heard back from any of those folks? Maybe there's ways we can also, listeners, talk to those shows, because I know we listen to them every day, and I know you're hearing them interview other candidates in other states. Let's certainly also talk to these folks and call them and ask them to please interview Amy and give her some time as well.
That's right. It's very difficult to get on those national talk shows. I've tried. I send my press releases to them so they know who I am, especially being a part of the Portland district in my district, mm-hmm. And having the political Antifa and unrest, because that's something we've come out pretty strong against. Myself and other candidates as well, congressional candidates. So I know we've all tried and to do it as a unit, and we thought we'd have more power if we did it together. But I've also tried as an individual candidate. And so it's very difficult to get on.
And that's how we can make a difference. We can be a part of the solution. We can get involved with our time, treasure, and talent. Again, Amy, what is your website?
AmyForOregon.com.
AmyForOregon.com. Get involved today. And we look forward to seeing you on Saturday, Amy. And certainly, thank you for being a part of the conversation. This 2 hours went so very fast. Thank you for joining me this morning.
It has been such a treat.
Yes, and we're wishing you well as you continue on these last few days.
Thank
and
you.
We believe over, under, around, or through, you're going to get there, Amy.
Keep up the faith. We can do this.
Congressional candidate, Amy Ryan Corser, District 5. Vote for her today. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll look forward to continuing the conversation tomorrow morning. Be blessed.